Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Chicago. Man, Bruce, I feel like I'm jacked up because it feels like we haven't been here in 2 weeks. I told you when I walked in, it feels like it's been over a month. And with what's going on in Chicago, outside of Chicago, in the game of Major League Baseball, the playoffs have been absolutely fantastic. If anybody has stopped to pause for a second and watch what's going on, and I can't wait to talk to Tom Hamilton, voice of the Guardians at 9:30. And then we got our own stuff going on about, is he selling, isn't he selling? But Bruce, it's just good to be back with you, my friend, because it just feels like it's been forever.
It has been forever. Taking a week off, we had a great Bear coverage going into the game in London last Saturday. I took the holiday off. I know you were in synagogue right next to me the entire time. But welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse. That's Ryan McGuffey. I'm Bruce Levine. Every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, minus one or two here and there, we're talking baseball with you, Chicago baseball at its best right here on The Score. 312-644-6767 is the number. And we are going to start with the hot news of this week and again today, and that is, Ryan, where are we at with the Chicago White Sox? Is Jerry Reinsdorf really selling the Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, so let's catch everybody up. So The Athletic, you know, broke a story earlier this week, okay, saying that Jerry Reinsdorf, and it was just bombshell in the city of Chicago. It was right around rush hour on Wednesday, I believe, that Jerry Reinsdorf's in, quote, active discussions with a group led by Dave Stewart to sell the team. Right away, my initial thought was, this is much to do about nothing, because there are so many different steps. And then you look at all the things, and we're going to get to them, all the things that have to happen, all while asking for a new stadium, launching a new RSN television network, and then all of a sudden you're going to pivot and sell the team. I know the fan base, you know, was throwing a party as soon as this story came out, but Bruce, there are like 42 steps between saying you're in active discussions with Dave Stewart's group and actually being able to sell this franchise right now.
Well, the first thing I remind everybody is, let's say Jerry does sell to Dave Stewart and his group tomorrow. The first thing that's going to come out of Dave Stewart's mouth is, we are excited to own the Chicago White Sox. We expect to have a world championship caliber team, but we're going to need a new ballpark. Okay. So regardless, White Sox fans, of who owns the team, whether it's Jerry or somebody else, by 2029, the expectations are that there will be a new ballpark being built either in Chicago or in some other venue for what you now know as the Chicago White Sox.
Case, look at Oakland, right? It's happening. We see what is happening right now with and Oakland has a much richer history. I know the White Sox are a charter member of the American League, but in terms of World Series banners, the Oakland Athletics were, you know, they had a dynasty in the 70s, a mini dynasty in the 80s and early 90s, and they've been just a great franchise. And they, for 3 years, were asking for a new ballpark, and both the city and the ownership put their foot in the ground and said, we're not budging, and now they're gone.
So this is, we're not threatening White Sox fans. White Sox fans are great fans, okay? They are entitled to great baseball, which they're not getting right now. They're entitled to a great ballpark, which they do not have right now.
You don't think they have a great ballpark right now?
That ballpark, if you pick up that ballpark and you put it downtown, I'm happy with it, okay? I'm okay with that ballpark.
Okay.
I'm not okay with where it's at.
Okay.
I'm not okay with the safety at night around it where people feel good about coming there and leaving by with public transportation. There are a lot of things that are not great for that team at that ballpark. Now, am I proposing that Chicago and Illinois taxpayers pay for a whole ballpark for the White Sox? No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is have a vision of what a ballpark in an entertainment area would look like. Have a vision of bringing back all kinds of business to Chicago, of bringing back the pride in Chicago that we've all had by living here our whole lives. And right now, do not quite, in my opinion, do not quite have the same feeling about it.
Well, I mean, you could back that up with, you could have that pride by backing it up with the product on the field. Right now, everything's heading south. You don't have a ballpark that you need in 2029. You've just lost 222 games in the last 2 years. You're the worst team in the history of baseball. And you're a hell of a long way from digging yourself out of that hole. And you're asking for public funding at a time, and this is what I was saying, the timing of this just, it doesn't add up. You're asking for public funding for a new ballpark at the same time the Chicago Bears are trying to get a stadium. Now the Chicago Fire, we've seen as a report from the 78, might be involved getting a new stadium in that exact same location. They have room for two stadiums, as we've learned this week. But I also just think, Bruce, this is a businessman, a successful businessman, who is trying to get a true value on his asset right now.
And exactly.
And yes, there's some negotiating tactics going on with trying to get a new push for a new ballpark. But you have a new TV station that's not going to bring in nearly as much money that you were getting from NBC Sports Chicago and from the last 5-year deal and then the 15-year deal before that.
Let me just jump in and say nobody is going to get the same TV money
ever
in Major League Baseball or in any of the other sports that have RSNs.
Yep.
Okay. That is just a fact of life. So this isn't just a White Sox problem. It's a baseball problem right now as far as RSNs and finding it and paying for it. Okay. But let's go back to 1987. Okay. What was happening in 1987? Jerry Reinsdorf and his group were trying to find a suburb to move the Chicago White Sox. They were going to build a new ballpark with the help and subsidy of a suburb of Chicago. That didn't work out. So the next step was, if the city of Chicago is not going to help us build a ballpark, we're going to have to move. Because we can't make it here, and we're not going to be able to make it here. This ballpark's falling apart, and our fans deserve better, but we bought this venture to win and make money, and it's not happening here. Next thing you know, it's Governor Thompson. It's in his lap. Last minute, he saves it. They
stopped the clock.
Stopped the clock, and they got a deal done. $130 million ballpark on the south side of Chicago. Really now, and I want people to really listen to this, the fifth oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. Okay. So you talk about, is it antiquated? It's a nice ballpark to be in. Okay. It's the wrong place, right?
I don't think it's as unsafe as you're saying, but
are you taking the red line there and back at night?
I mean, I have.
Are you? Going to
it's
do
it's not
that.
My preferred choice because I like the park.
So, if,
but I'd say this: like,
you got,
I,
you got your
one stop north of
you
Wrigley Field.
You're
in the same
situation.
You got
your 7-year-old and your 9-year-old with you and your wife. Are you getting on the red line to go there at night?
I mean, honestly, I would not have as much of a problem with it as you think. I don't think that Wrigley Field is all that safe when you get one.
Yeah, but you
two blocks north or west or anywhere
difference
else.
Difference there, I don't disagree. Difference there is you're in a packed train. Going up and back, okay? You're a Chicagoan.
Yeah.
You know the difference between a packed train and you?
Yeah,
I get you, Joe, and three bad guys.
I get what you're saying.
Right?
You know, bad guys are everywhere, though.
They are. But if you have
enough good guys around them.
Look, I know it's not the only reason, okay? But it's a major reason why a lot of people won't take public... The idea of having good public transportation in and out of your ballpark is essential, Okay.
But building a new park at the 78 is going to require infrastructure to create a new stop.
Okay, it's called money. You have to monetize it.
It's called money from me and Ryan and other people.
Ryan, have a vision. Have a vision of what Chicago can be with an entertainment center downtown.
I don't give a damn about like raising my taxes to build a vision. It's not my vision.
Do you want a city that can support itself? Do you want a city that has self-pride? Do you want all those things?
This city has that stuff.
I know it does, but the downtown area is in deep need of...
It is deep need of in 50 other states as well.
We only live here.
Okay.
All right? We only live here. Look, it's a good discussion. 312-644-6767. You know, you tell me I'm an idiot all the time. Here's your chance to do it. Ryan, the idea of, you know, I'll steal one from Donald Trump. Make Chicago great again. Okay?
I think Chicago's great, man.
It is great.
I don't think the White Sox coming to putting a stadium.
The White Sox are a portion of what this entertainment area vision is, okay? Have a vision of what an entertainment area downtown might look like.
Show me what a vision of a winning team looks like. How about that? That's what I want. I want a vision of a winning team.
I know. Well, you're looking down the street, Michigan Avenue. I'm looking to the north side or the south side from there. So we have two different visions, right? You're saying, hey, cut out the crap about what Chicago can be like with a new Sox Park. I just want a new ballpark.
I just think there's more that this city needs right now than a new baseball stadium.
But right now, you're correct. Right now, I'm talking about having a vision of Chicago. What is Chicago 10 years from now? What does it look like?
The CPS is a fail. I mean, we're diverting here and going all kinds of different ways. There's more money to be spent there.
Back people to want to have their conventions here again, okay?
The Democratic National Convention right down the street.
Can this be the city that it was, bringing in people from the outside that it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago?
Well, we got people, the phone lines are lighting up on this. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Chuck out in Glencoe.
Thank you very much, fellas, and I'm enjoying the show, except that I have to talk to Bruce specifically about his inaccuracies regarding public transportation. First of all, it is a much shorter walk to the Red Line, which also serves the 78 neighborhood, Bruce, but it's a much shorter walk at Comiskey Park and a much safer walk than it is down Roosevelt Road. I don't know how many shootings there's been on Roosevelt Road and in Canal and Clark, right near the 78. That's number one. Number two, there already is an existing Metra station 1.5 blocks east of Comiskey Park, if Bruce cares to remember that. And there is the nearest The nearest Metra station to the 78, Bruce, happens to be downtown. So let's think about that for a minute, and let's also think about the fact that a new stadium is not nearly as necessary as you think it is. And the other thing is Sox Park. Let's talk about Chicago and its greatness as you want to talk about in 10 or 15 years. One of the ways a big city stays great is to keep its heritage. And one of the heritages about Chicago is the White Sox are still and always will be a neighborhood team. Bridgeport, Canaryville, Chinatown, that is their team.
Neighborhoods change, my friend, and that neighborhood has changed.
Bruce, I don't know.
Now, the same people don't live there that lived there 20 years ago.
You know what I think they should check?
They're wonderful people that live there. They might have a little different look at what the White Sox are, okay? It is one of the great 77 neighborhoods in Chicago.
LeChuck, thanks for the call, because there's definitely stuff to build off of here. I mean, we talked about transportation. I think the White Sox, to be honest with you, Bruce, you want public funding?
Nearsighted or farsighted?
I'm going to give you, you're not
wearing glasses at all right now.
I'm not. I can see you clearly, my friend. The White Sox, you want public funding?
I'm not telling you it has to all be public funding.
It can't be all public funding.
No.
I'm just telling you this. Pull on the Atlanta Braves. Pull the city. poll the residents of Chicagoland and say, where would you like the Chicago White Sox? Because that's how the Braves got their new park done. They put it in
Is it in the city of Atlanta?
No. Who gives a damn?
Okay.
Half the ballpark.
No revenue for the city of Chicago. Mayor Johnson, did you hear that? It's Ryan McGuffey.
No one wants to hear what he's saying right now. I'm telling you, if you want people to spend their money and their tax dollars, ask them where they want stuff. At least pull the... Don't just say, well, we're going to... I don't know. The White Sox are so much more than a flipping stadium right now.
They are. Okay, how many stadiums have Atlanta had since the White Sox Park was built?
I don't know. They have a lot more pennants.
How many? They've had two stadiums built.
Well, it's because the Olympics.
Since the White Sox.
What I mean?
Have theirs built? Okay.
I mean,
right?
Comiskey Park can still be on the south side.
Texas Rangers. How many stadiums built since the White Sox had theirs built?
I mean, this discussion is going to end up with a moved franchise. That's what's going to happen because people are they're tuning out. You're showing them nothing. There's no commitment on the field to get get commitment.
White Sox fans, the city of Chicago deserve a state-of-the-art ballpark in an entertainment area.
All right, Rudy might agree with you. 312-644-6767. Rudy out in Deerfield says there should be a vision. So here, let's hear from Rudy.
Agree with you at all. Rudy does not agree with Bruce at all, not even a little bit. I will say this. I love Bruce. I think he's great. I thank God that there's baseball every Saturday morning. But where in the hell has Michael Reinsdorf been with his vision for the last 15 or 20 years? He's a middle-aged, 55-year-old guy, son of a billionaire. Where has their vision been for the last 15 or 20 years? It's not like nobody knew these other stadiums were getting built the last 25 years. What have they been doing?
What was the last stadium built in Chicago?
I don't care about that. That's up to them, Bruce.
Who built it?
Who built it? The state of Illinois built it.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
It's not even paid for.
No. The last stadium built was the United Center, and the Wirtz and the Reinsdorfs built it, right?
Bruce, the building is not even paid for, correct?
What? No, it was paid for in 4 years.
Sox
Park. We're talking about two different parks. So
I'm not talking about anything. We're talking about the vision for the White Sox, I thought.
Right.
What are you talking
but
about?
We're talking about ownership that has built their own stadium before.
I know, but what you're missing, Bruce, is you're making this seem to be our problem or somebody else's problem. Where's the Reinsdorf vision? Where's their vision?
Well, their vision is right around the United Center as well. Do you have any idea what they're building around there over the next 5 years?
You're talking about three different things, man.
No, we're talking about the city of Chicago. And what needs...
Where's Michael Reinsdorf's vision?
Michael Reinsdorf is not involved.
He doesn't run the White Sox. Michael Reinsdorf.
I believe me. I understand that. But he wants to own the Bulls, correct? Can we take that as an X? He wants to be the owner of the Bulls.
He is the owner.
He is.
Okay, fine. He's the owner of the Bulls. But he's going to inherit the White Sox, correct?
No, the White Sox will be sold.
White Sox will be sold.
Where's their vision been the last 25 years? Last 20 years.
For what?
The worst team in baseball on purpose.
Okay, you're talking about on-the-field division, right?
I'm talking about everything. They're the worst organization, one of them, in sports.
Rudy, there's a lot of people who agree with you, and we thank you for the phone call. You know, I think I'm fighting some
who's
of that same fight with
who's
Bruce
the
or not.
Central Division champion of the American League in 21.
Yeah, no one remembers teams that got the White Sox did. They were 93-69, and 3 years later,
who was who was the manager? Oh yeah, La Russa.
Oh Jesus,
the guy
Christ.
That tore this whole thing.
Oh
down.
Boy, oh boy. Let's get one more call before we go to break here. Jim from Naperville, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys. Real quick, Bruce. Why? I think it's great. Do the 78. Do it at Michael Reese. Do it wherever you want to do it, but. Why should any public money go into it to benefit Jerry Reinsdorf?
You feel the same way about the Bears?
Yeah, exact same way.
Okay.
At least they've come to the table, the Bears, with $2 billion.
Reinsdorf.
Yeah, exactly. $2 billion on a property you don't own. I don't understand that, but
right.
That's separate.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
Reinsdorf's offering no money.
No.
Right now.
Right now.
I think that's part of the negotiating.
No, he didn't pay. He should pay for the whole thing, and the state should do the infrastructure. That's simple. It's really simple.
All right.
This is going to be a heated topic until we have some more clarity on it. And it's going to be, this is not a 6 month thing.
I love the passion of our listeners.
Our phone lines are as lit up as they've been.
And if it's hate directed at me, you know, bring it on. Just spell the name.
Oh, it's no hate. It's all love, Bruce.
It's not Levine. It's Levine.
Plenty to get to. We'll talk more about the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf active discussions to sell the club, which is actively, you know, ongoing for a long time. But we have a lot more to get to. Tom Hamilton, the great voice of the Cleveland Guardians, who I believe, and I think, Bruce, you agree with me on this, is the best radio voice in the game. If you go back to Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, there's so much there. We're going to get into his iconic calls from this week. We got Chicago Bound at 10, a fun segment we like to get into free agency with. Ned Colletti, local guy.
Former GM of the Dodgers.
Former GM of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to talk about the Dodgers, who are one win away from going back to the World Series.
And maybe a sale of a team that he was involved with when he was there.
A hot topic. That's on the phone lines, 312-644-6767. This is Inside the Clubhouse. We're glad to be back. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey, and this is 670 The Score.
Runner at second, two down, ninth inning, and the 1-0 pitch. Swung out! Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Oh my God, inject it into my veins. I have goosebumps. I love listening to Tom Hamilton. I'm Ryan McGuffey, alongside Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse. I mean, those calls are what postseason baseball is all about. You get that during the regular season with Tom Hamilton, and the Score Hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Bruce.
And we bring in my good friend and a great friend of our station here at the Score, Tom Hamilton, the voice of the Cleveland Guardians. And Tom, welcome to the show. Welcome to the postseason. What has that been like for you, my friend?
Oh, talk about friends. Good to be with you, Bruce and Ryan. Yeah, you know what? It never gets old. I've been so fortunate, Bruce, this is since 95. Cleveland's been in the postseason 14 times, which is pretty incredible when you consider the size of this market and the revenue issues you've got to deal with for where you can put your payroll. So it's been pretty remarkable what they've done here, and I know how lucky I've been to just be along for the ride. But it never gets old, Bruce. And I think anyone that has been around postseason baseball would certainly second that. And, you know, this has been a pretty incredible October in its own right, because this club was down 2-1 in Detroit, was down late in game 4 in the Motor City, and then David Fry came off the bench and saved the season with a pinch hit two-run home run. And then the calls that you played, you know, was the ball game that took place two nights ago when, you know, again, Cleveland was down to its last strike in the ninth inning and got to the Yankees. So unfortunately, the tables were reversed last night, where, you know, Cleveland came from 4 down, tied it up in the seventh and eighth innings, and then New York won it in the ninth. And so, you know, it's been a heavyweight slugfest here, but right now the Yankees are in control, but it's still been fun, to say the least.
14 times, Bruce. Did you hear that, Tom? Did you hear what Tom said? 14 times for the postseason since 1995. We're the third largest market with two damn teams. They've been to the postseason 14 times. I just wanted to throw that back out there just to let everyone.
You know, Ryan, you're not running for office.
Well, okay. I didn't mean it, Ryan, in that regard. I mean, I just think it's pretty remarkable. I think a lot of times the fans here in Cleveland take it for granted. And, you know, that's basically postseason baseball every other year. And the only teams that have been in the postseason more than Cleveland since 95 are the Yankees and the Braves.
That's awesome.
And I think a lot of times our fans here don't realize how special it is. I mean, I'm not trying to slam our fans. I don't mean it that way. But, you know, you'll sometimes hear the talk, well, you haven't won at all. Well, for crying out loud, you've been in three World Series. You've had the moments that we have had again this October. And, you know, hey, there's only one fan base that's happy at the end of each year. And, you know, like I say, I've been grateful just to get to this point this number of times.
The great Tom Hamilton, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Ryan. I'm Bruce. We're here for you almost every Saturday, 50 or so weeks out of the year, talking baseball. It's just so exciting to hear and to see fan bases like Cleveland's, like everybody's this time of year. The fans seem to be on their feet all the time during this. You know, you've experienced, you know, loud crowds before, but what is the experience like right now with the Cleveland fans?
Well, I think, you know, Bruce and Ryan, this club kind of really captured the town's fancy early. And, you know, so many times this ball club has been so much better coming from behind and from the All-Star break being, you know, a dominant ball club. This team got off to a really good start this year. We saw the ball club go 7-2 to start the year on a three-city road trip. And, you know, then in May have a 9-game win streak. And so I think you got people engaged early and believing early. And, you know, then it withstood the challenge of the Kansas City Royals in particular. And, you know, Minnesota faded again. And then kind of Detroit came out of nowhere. So, you know, the ability to get to the American League Championship Series, to me, is always mammoth. It's just a game changer when you get this close to the World Series. And I think all of us would agree, you know, when you're playing the Yankees, it takes the postseason excitement to another level. And I think that's true in almost any city because, let's face it, the Yankees are the Yankees. It's the most iconic name in all of pro sports. And, you know, unfortunately, Cleveland's not been able to contain Judge and Stanton and Soto. Those guys have hit 7 home runs in this American League Championship Series. So I'm not sure what the atmosphere will be like tonight. I hope it's not people expecting the other shoe to fall. But, hey, it is what it is. And it's been a great October to this point. And for Cleveland fans, it takes their minds off what has been a sorry state of affairs on the lakefront with the Browns.
You know, I thought, to be honest with you, going into the postseason, and you look at the teams that are there, the Yankees and the big market payrolls and the big money that, you know, take the AL Central aside, but the Guardians had what I thought nobody else did, which was the most dangerous bullpen in baseball. I mean, and that's a fact, and that's what we saw it enough here in Chicago to know exactly what was at the back end. You get to the sixth inning with a lead, and it's lights out. What's been going on with Emmanuel Clase? I mean, he's been as good. I know he's been extended more in the playoffs. I don't know if that's part of it. It's just, for whatever reason, he has just not been that guaranteed go-to guy.
Yeah, I don't know, Ryan. And that's a great point because, quite honestly, the only chance Cleveland has to win is with their bullpen. I mean, it has carried it all year long to the point where all season long you were like, man, when is this going to catch up to the club? When is this going to catch up to the club? We're just not getting enough length from our starters, and it never did in the regular season. But to your point, when you go to that bullpen as much as Cleveland has this year, as much as they have in the playoffs, where they're extended and they're pitched beyond what they've been pitched in the regular season because of necessity, I think eventually there's wear and tear. Whether anybody wants to admit it or not, you know, no one's going to admit it now, you know that. But I thought John Smoltz made a great point the other night in the Mets-Dodgers series. And obviously he knows all about it with the Braves having won, 14 straight division titles there in their heyday. He said for pitchers, pitching in the postseason is like having to pitch at Coors Field every day. And I thought, man, I wish I was smart enough to think of that because it really takes a toll on pitchers, whether they realize it or not. Every pitch is a high leverage pitch because every pitch could swing the series one way or the other. And Cleveland, guys, we have played 9 Yeah, 9 games so far against the Yankees and Tigers this October. 30 innings from the rotation in those 9 ball games. That's basically, even I can figure that one out, a little over 3 innings per start. It's got to have an impact. It has to take a toll. Emmanuel Clase A gave up 5 earned runs all year.
Right.
And, you know, he's given that up the last 2 nights.
Yeah.
So it, I know guys are going to say, no, I'm not tired. No, there's not. The other thing is, too, guys, when you're in a series, and again, especially a 7-gamer where you have the 2 additional ball games, these guys are comfortable, if you want to call it that. At least they're more comfortable facing this bullpen because they've seen it night in and night out. And I think there's a familiarity there that you never have in the regular season.
Tom, when you look at Class A, he's still throwing 99, but Major League hitters now can hit 99 and 100, okay?
Yep.
Because that's all they see. Now, if it's 99 without movement, that's a little bit different story, and I think that's what's happening with Class A now. Your opinion on the difference between hitters and pitchers after 200 games, you're into the postseason. Hitters are not going to get tired to the point where they're going to fail. Pitchers, it seems, you know, we've seen the Hershisers and the Maddoxes fail in postseason before. It's not anything new. And is there anything other than the fact that pitchers are worn out?
I don't know. You know, it's one of the things, Bruce, in all honesty, I'll ask our people today, our pitching coach, our manager, you know, is Clase tipping pitches? I don't know that he has been. I haven't heard that he has been. But New York looked awfully comfortable, I thought, last night. And again, it might just be, and you know, sometimes we're always looking for that other reason, or almost, is there some kind of a conspiracy here? I also think you've got to give credit to the Yankees. You're also talking about, you know, arguably the best offensive club in the American League. And, you know, it's so easy to say, and I know people have said it this year about the Yankees, hey, you just have to contain Judge and Soto. Well, okay, so far no one's done that. I mean, the two of them combined for, what, close to 100 home runs and, you know, 250 RBIs this year. I think the thing that's really made New York a different animal is Giancarlo Stanton. You know, he kind of flies under the radar during the regular season because since he got to New York, he's had a lot of trouble staying healthy. He's never put up the numbers in New York that he did in Miami. But you look at his numbers, Bruce and Ryan, and in October, he's been a better hitter not only this year but in the past as compared to Aaron Judge. And I just think we have seen the importance of Stanton. You know, he hit the 3-run home run last night that was a backbreaker. And Giancarlo Stanton has elevated his game once again this October. And, man, that's a three-headed monster that Cleveland hasn't figured out. I think I mentioned before, they've hit 7 home runs between those 3 in the 5 games. And so whether there's more to it than that, I'm not sure. But, you know, the old adage is those guys drive nice cars too. The difference is those 3 guys drive a lot nicer cars than anybody else in the game. And they have risen to the occasion. And I've always said come October, I don't think it's anything profound. Your stars have to be stars. And the Yankee stars have been that.
All right, Tom. So I'm going to take you back to 8 years real quick on my last question for you. Yeah, I don't think that I want to be surprised. Maybe this will happen again in my life. I'm a 45, so let's see. But Rajay Davis's home run in Game 7 to this day is the most surprising baseball moment I have ever experienced. And I was there. I remember the state. Like, I've never been more surprised by that guy. He's choked up a foot on the handle of the bat.
Yeah.
And up until this week, that was my favorite Tom Hamilton call ever. I thought you did a beautiful job of setting it up for both, you know, both clubs and saying that these are the two teams with the longest historic droughts, et cetera, et cetera. And then he hits that home run. And then the calls on Thursday night were just unreal. But from a being surprised moment in your career, is that does that rank number one for you, Rajay Davis's homer off Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, it does, Ryan, because what's at stake? You know, it's game seven. The Cubs had that game in control the entire way. I mean, game seven was really not dramatic, and it didn't get dramatic until Brandon Guyer got a huge RBI double prior to Rajay Davis in the eighth inning, and that set the stage for Rajay Davis to tie it with that incredible at-bat that you talked about. And it was mano a mano. I mean, Chapman was not getting beat with anything but his fastball, and he got beat with that fastball as eventually Rajay Davis hit, in my 35 years here, the biggest moment in the history of our ballpark, what was Jacobs Field, now Progressive Field. There's never been a moment like that. And again, it was because of what was at stake. Rajay Davis doesn't hit home runs. You know, maybe next after that would be Jean Kinsey Noel the other night, because he hadn't hit a home run since August 30th. And he had not swung the bat well the entire month of September. And then comes off the bench with two down and ties it up against the Yankees. But it's going to be hard to ever top what Rajay Davis did in that seventh game against Chapman, because I think to your point too, Ryan, I have to look back. It's either a seven or a nine pitch at bat. Yeah. And Davis just kept fouling off pitches, and it just continued to build the drama. We also had almost as many people outside the ballpark on the plaza between the arena and the ballpark as we did in the ballpark, and the sheer ecstasy of that moment for Cleveland fans, coupled with the unbelievable agony by all the Cub fans that were also there, who had spent their kids' college fund to get tickets for Game 7, created an atmosphere that was almost like an international setting.
The broadcasting wing of the Hall of Fame is incomplete without Tom Hamilton. Oh, hopefully that is rectified this year. Tom, Ryan and I appreciate it so much. Keep on making those great calls and doing what you do so well. Thank you for taking the time out today.
Appreciate it, Tom.
Well, I'm always honored to be with you, Bruce and Ryan, and I appreciate the kind words. And, you know, again, it's been fun to be a part of this. When you see everything else that's going on in our divisive world, it's fun to have sports bring us all together, isn't
you
it?
You bet. Amen on that.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Tom. I have a feeling we're going to get another great call tonight from Tom Hamilton. I'm just going to throw that out there. So maybe late in the game, another big Tom Hamilton moment. So be listening to Bernstein and Harris all this week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Will Ferrell's Ultimate DJ House Party. Bruce is going next Saturday at Wintrust Arena. Swedish House Mafia, D-Nice, A-Track, and more will be hosted by Will Ferrell. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We've got plenty to get to. Chicago bound at the top of the hour. Former Dodgers GM Ned Coletti at 10:30. And Bruce and I continue to argue about the White Sox. Oh, at some point.
It's
on and
discussion.
Off the air. On and off
How
the
can
air.
You say it's
on
an
and
argument.
Off the air. This is Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Back on Inside the Clubhouse, Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine. Bruce, I was just thinking during the break with, you know, Tom Hamilton talking about all the postseason and hearing those iconic calls, that it just makes me just completely envious and jealous and bitter that there's no Chicago baseball in the postseason. It just sucks. I mean, there's really no other way
to say
it.
There is a lot of Chicago baseball.
Oh, former players?
Tommy
Michael Kopech.
Tim Hill was released by the White Sox this year. Okay.
Carlos Rodon, shoving.
He's pitching tonight. Okay.
Yep. Thanks. I appreciate this. Do you have any Cubs that you would like to name? What's with all the former Sox?
There's a few Cubs around there. There's
Leiter. Mark Leiter Jr. Mark How about Leiter that? Jr. A big error. To open the gates.
No. I mean, the guy hadn't pitched in 3 weeks.
I know.
He wasn't even on the roster in the last series.
But that's what happens in Chicago baseball. I hear 14 times, Cleveland 14 times in the postseason, and we're sitting here trying to get one team to the postseason. We have two teams, and not one of them can get to the postseason.
Right now, we'd be talking about Sox or Cubs being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
Where's the contract for me to sign that? Okay. I would love to be talking about a disappointing sweep.
So the 2018 Cubs getting eliminated in the wild card game, one game, that was okay? That's okay for you?
Wait a minute. Are we saying that you'd rather have 83 and 79?
I don't know. I remember the
I remember
the disappointment in that team.
Give me disappointment that equals postseason.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, 14 times has not led to the Cleveland. The Cleveland Guardians have the longest drought in baseball right now with World Series.
Within 3 days, the Cubs went from winning a division to the next day being the wild card to the day after being eliminated by Colorado at home in the one-game wild card. That was, if you call that fun, okay.
Well, we're going to try to fix this at the top of the hour, at least with the Cubs, because if you call 7 years of baseball hell that equaled two postseason wins for the White Sox fun, Bruce, then I'll argue that too. So we got plenty to get to. Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey, we are going to discuss if Josh Hader is Chicago bound. Yes, Josh Hader, Chicago bound. On the other side of this break, this is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.